Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central. Now, I think most South Africans know the name Ellie's. The company has been around for decades and is synonymous with TV aerials, electrical cabling, and other such products. What a lot of people don't know is that Ellie's is a JSE-listed company, and it also has a relatively new CEO, Sean Prithivaraj, leading it. And Sean joins us on the podcast now to talk a bit about the history of Ellie's, how it's changed over the years, how it got into a bit of financial difficulty in the last few years, and what he's doing to turn around its fortunes. So, Sean, thanks for making the time to talk to Tech Central today, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Ellie's is based downtown, isn't it?
We used to be till May of this year. Okay. We have two new offices in Cromerville.
Oh, in Cromerville. Okay, near Sandton. But historically, you were in the CBD, and you were there for many
years. That's correct. For many years, we had our operations, including our warehousing, distribution, and head office based out of Elof Street. And in recent times, we had to move simply because we had an insurance issue with regards to water supply for our sprinkler system. So the insurance company said, you know, says the stock that you're holding, it's held as security by the banks, and without sufficient insurance, they no longer cover us, and we would have had a challenge with the bank. And that precipitated some of the strategic moves, which we can get into later.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna discuss that in quite some detail. But let's talk a little bit about the history first, Sean. Ellie's was founded in 1979. That's 41 years ago, by a businessman by the name of Eli Salco, who to make TV aerials, if I remember correctly. Now, I believe Salco retired from the board earlier this year after four decades with the group. I know that I think you're fairly new to the company. I stand to be corrected there. You may have worked your way up through the ranks into the CEO position. But maybe take us through some of the history of Eli's. When did it list on the JSE, for example, and how has the business changed over the years?
Okay, so in terms of... I joined the company last year, was appointed as CEO and a director in April of last year. And you're right, Eli Salco started the business 41-odd years ago. And, you know, everyone remembers Eli's as the bunny aerial supplier. Yeah. Yeah. And over the years, the business has moved into so many different parts, you know, our customers have moved into, I mean, we have moved our products into retail. We have a large installer base of about 3,500 installers, because the next kind of movement from the bunny aerials has been our partnership with MultiChoice. Mm-hmm. And that has been relatively strong over the years and a big contributor to Ellie's revenue. Right. However, in the past, you asked the question around, other issues around history and how did we get ourselves into a bit of trouble. And I think the Megatron issue of the past has been well documented, where Ellie's went into different types of kind of electrical segments, which didn't pan out well for the company. That has been, you know, some of the historic challenges.
So just remind us what Megatron was.
Well, Megatron used to provide electrical components, et cetera, that converted electricity from the supplier into homes. So it was this, it was a big, these big boxes that you see on the sides of the road. Yeah. And that was done into Africa. And that's where the entire thing started. But unfortunately, for whatever reason in the past, that business did not work out as it was originally envisaged. And Ellie's did get itself into a bit of trouble. Right. So it worked its way through those challenges. We are still left with some of the legacy issues in terms of historic debt, but that has come down significantly, and we have managed that fairly well.
Yes.
So I think in the last year, from the time I joined the company and, you know, was appointed in April of last year, so we found a business that strategically it didn't seem to have proper direction. Our operations out of Elof Street, which we have mentioned earlier, over the 41-odd years, the business had grown significantly. And the facility and the systems used, as well as processes and people, it began to lead to inefficiencies in the business. which we have tried to address over this last year. So I think that's kind of a lot of change that we have managed over the past year, but yeah, there's still a significant road to go.
Eli's, as you've mentioned, has had a quite a rough go within the last couple of years. I was having a look at the share price this morning. It's currently trading at just 6 cents, and that's down from a peak of about 10 rand a share back in 2013, and it's been on a fairly solid downward trajectory since that peak about 7 years ago. Last week in your results, it was stated that there is, quote, material uncertainty over the company's ability to continue as a going concern, particularly if the economic environment gets worse, if there's another shock to the system, as it were. That sounds rather worrying, Sean. Should investors be concerned about the future of this group, or is this all historical stuff we're looking at?
So it's historical, but I just want to go back to that going concern comment.
Yeah.
It was a requirement from our auditors due to COVID-19 that it is a material uncertainty. I think what's important to note is it's that uncertainty is not only for Eli's as a business. It's probably for every company in South Africa, if not globally, because we have seen the devastation that COVID-19 has caused. It has been material to businesses in South Africa, especially, and we do not know what the future holds. So I think that was the comment that our auditors wanted us to include. Mm. But is Eli's a going concern? The directors believe so. Management believes so, but most importantly, so does our financiers, Standard Bank, and they are totally behind us. They understood from the beginning when we had started what the last year was about. It was a year of cleanup, mm-hmm, to set the business on a path to growth. And yes, it was at a cost, but we could not kick this can any further down the road. Yes. A lot of the issues had to be dealt with in this past financial year.
Right. Take us through what your balance sheet looks like. What is your gearing at the moment, and what do you want that balance sheet to look like, say, 12 to 24 months from now?
So, we want to continue to work towards, firstly, we want to get rid of non-core assets to our business.
Right.
And you would see that in the results. You know, for instance, we had adjacent properties in Elof Street as well as around the country, properties where we were, occupying as tenants, in next to the distribution center in Elof Street, but we own the training center and an adjacent warehouse, as well as some of our branches in PE, East London, Nelspruit, etc. And we took the decision, well, the board, together with management, took the decision to dispose of these properties.
Right.
Because they went core to our businesses. And the value we held on our balance sheet compared to what was the realizable value was significantly different. And that was one of the issues, that there was a 12 million rand impairment just on the sale of these properties.
Right.
To hold on to them any longer, it would have just led to further deterioration of value.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not in the property business. So we would rather, in terms of some of those branches or those branch properties that we've sold them and we've leased them back. And we feel that's much, if in the future these branches are no longer viable options for us, it is easier for us to relocate. Whereas when we are, anchored by ownership of the property, it makes it far more difficult.
Okay. So what is your, what sort of interest-bearing debt are you sitting on at the moment, and what would you like that to be in the future?
Well, we have, as I mentioned, the two Megatron issue, we have two facilities with Standard Bank, both of 85 million rand. And we've upped the working capital of an overdraft facility, which is very manageable. There are covenants in place, and they are amortizing loans. And so far for this year, we seem to be well positioned in this quarter to meet our commitments to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
There is a period of time over which these things will be, kind of written off or written down. But it is based on the performance of the business. A big part of what we had envisaged was around DTT. It could have been a very profitable venture for Eli's. But as I think you have commented as well this past Monday, yet another delay.
Yes.
And now it's pushed out to past 2022. So that's an issue. I think if we continue on the strategy that we currently have, look for growth in other areas, and we're not hedging our success or growth in the future on DTT alone. And I think that message has been communicated historically, but we are looking at completely different avenues as we go forward.
Okay, but you'll still participate in the DTT project when it eventually happens.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, originally we were the only manufacturer, the local manufacturer of the satellite dishes. So, you know, it stood us, we were in a very good position to take advantage of this. However, these, you know, these false dawns and continuous setbacks has not helped us.
Does what does the future look like for that TV aerials and satellite dish business? I mean, we know that consumers are under pressure. We know that there are streaming alternatives coming. A lot of people are signing up for Netflix and Showmax and all that sort of thing, which don't require aerials. It just requires a broadband connection. Do you think that business is going to be in perennial decline going forward?
I think it will continue to do so, but not immediately.
Okay.
I think that, you know, this, because if anything, while we've seen during the lockdown, we've actually seen an increase in connections for satellite. However, we're not, you know, kind of just waiting for the situation to overtake us. We have earlier this year signed a partnership with Vox, where we have started playing in the connectivity space. So we have an entire ecosystem that sits outside of our arrangements with MultiChoice, and that's about 3,500 installers. These are SMMEs, predominantly black-owned small businesses that operate completely independently from Elis, but they get all their work from Elis, and that is the installation of these satellite dishes. So what we've done is we are in the process of upskilling that base now to step into the FTTH, you know, the splicing, the installation on the Vox side, which then allows the connectivity. So if the consumer wants to have, you know, Netflix and satellite, we have the installers that can do it. So we are active in both connectivity and the older technology, which is satellite. But do we see it waning over a period of time? Yes, but I don't think that's going to be immediate.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask about your Johannesburg warehouse. I see you said in your annual results that you have migrated that warehouse and distribution function to a company called Value Logistics. And as part of this process, there was a staff reduction exercise, not only at the warehouse, but also at your head office. What is the significance of this move to Value Logistics, and what does it mean for the group?
Okay. I think that's the most significant strategic change we have made over the last year. In the results, you would have seen a 41 million rand impairment on stock.
Yes.
Okay. This stock buildup has occurred over a number of years at our own, at our old facility. And there are several reasons for that. Firstly, processes, et cetera, around procurement were not up to standard. But the big contributor was the lack of proper inventory management or warehouse management systems. Now, if you can imagine 26,000 SKUs, trying to manage it of disparate systems, you know, it just leads to this kind of situation where you have large stock impairments.
Yes.
Value, you know, state-of-the-art, world-class systems. That's the first thing. So now we are able to manage our stock in real time. We know exactly what's being held. Where we are low on stock, we can order and replenish. I think that's, and most importantly, in terms of stock takes and stock accountability, they guarantee us almost a 99% accuracy on stock takes. So we are constantly aware of exactly how much of stock we have at Value. Whereas when we had it at Eurostri, it was a bit of, you know, Excel spreadsheets trying to put it together and finding that the virtual stock and the physical stock, there was a, you know, considerable mismatch. And I think this is going to significantly improve the Elis electronics business overall. Apart from that, it also gives us proof of deliveries to our customers in real time of an electronic portal, which we never had in the past. So you can imagine us working off these disparate systems, trying to understand what stock we have, then sending it with transporters to various retailers around the country, and then trying to manually reconcile where are these proof of deliveries. with a business of 1.2, 1.4 billion rand turnover to try and do that manually is an absolute nightmare. That now is past us. And we're really excited about the future when it comes to our warehousing and logistics.
Okay, so in terms of those IT systems, are they being run by Value Logistics on your behalf, or is there some sort of integration between IT systems that had to take place?
So there's a level of integration which deals between our finance department, our stock holding procurement department, and Value. But the other part of the IT upgrade will occur in January, where we will upgrade our entire ERP system across the Ellie's business. So I think it gives us far more control. It gives us far more data to make very informed decisions. Whereas in the past, we weren't absolutely sure whether that the data that we had available to us was correct or not. So now we're very confident, and I think that's critical for us to manage this business. The other point that I had made was, when we took over about a year ago, it was a 26,000 SKU business. We have already reduced that in the last year to 10,000. And we believe, ideally, Ellie's should operate at about a 5,000 SKU business. So that brings a lot of efficiencies with it. By reducing the number of SKUs, we can better manage inventory. We can put our money behind what actually makes us money.
Yes.
Right now, just kind of, spray and play process that we followed in the past would just not work in what we're trying to do with Ellie's as we go forward.
So with the reduction of those stock keeping units, are you exiting entire product areas entirely?
In some instances, not entirely. We just had far too many variations of the same product.
Okay.
So, and we tried to limit that because we couldn't understand why a customer, if it was an essential item, would really care about what the color of it was.
Yes.
And this just multiplied itself out in different kind of consumer segments, whether it was electronics, solar, etc. So we've limited that, stuck to the essentials, and most importantly, we've identified what sells and what does not. So our stock turn is starting to improve, and that's critical for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So the products that you sell, are they all manufactured by other companies, mostly imported, or do you make your own product as well?
We make our own and we import. The split is about 40% imported,
okay.
60%. I'd say about 30% is manufactured, right, and the other 30 is sourced locally. The other local suppliers who manufacture on our behalf.
So do you have a factory somewhere that's manufacturing the stuff?
Correct. We do have a factory in Elof Street, just past the head office in the CBD. And there we concentrate more on kind of metal work. So it's a lot of satellite dishes, the satellite arms and brackets, solar brackets,
yep.
The trolley for the inverters, etc. So that's what we focus on in our manufacturing. We also have a plant in Boksburg where we do more packaging of imported cables, plugs, etc.
Does it make sense to make any of the electronics stuff locally? I'm thinking about light bulbs, I'm thinking about cables, all that sort of thing. Or is it impossible to compete with the Chinese?
I think the challenge becomes competitive pricing.
Right.
It becomes extremely difficult locally. The input costs are far exceeds to compete against an importer of the same product, which we do. A lot of the products in the past where we kind of had a monopoly, if you think about the downlighters with internal cooling, etc., that has become commoditized now.
Yes.
There's so many suppliers of it. So it's extremely challenging to manufacture those electrical goods in South Africa.
Yeah. Currently. I know the government would love to see more of that and job creation around local manufacturing industry. Is there any opportunity, perhaps through government support or other mechanisms, for South Africa to become more competitive versus the Chinese in producing products like this, or is it just a fool's game getting into it?
I think if there's more protection, against imports, that will certainly help. The ongoing issues around labor, et cetera,
yeah.
Continues to put manufacturers on the back foot. It's not only us, it's several others. And we've seen, a swathe of manufacturers during this lockdown period. shut their doors down permanently. And so it's an ongoing challenge. Also, your raw materials required for the manufacturing process becomes a bit challenging. Like at the moment, there is a bit of challenge with steel and its availability with Robur, et cetera, those companies not being around. So it becomes far more difficult with raw materials. And I can imagine what it would be like if you are manufacturing electronic finished goods here in South Africa. It would be far more challenging than getting raw materials like steel.
Yeah. Now, Sean, I'm not asking you to make any forward-looking statements or anything that might get you into trouble with the JSE, but the numbers that you produced here for the end of April, can you give us some idea of and that obviously included 1 month of the hard lockdown. Can you maybe give us a bit of a picture of what how your business has fared since then under lockdown? Are you able to do that?
Okay, so all right. So everything we have done on the, you know, all the strategic changes that we have made, the first quarter results have shown are very positive. Okay. It has shown the strategic initiatives, especially around the value logistics part of it. You know, our restructure of our head office with far more focused areas in terms of solar, in terms of connectivity. MultiChoice continues to be a big contributor towards our revenue. It's all been extremely positive. And unfortunately, that's all I'm at liberty to discuss on that because of the reasons you have stated.
Sure. No, fair enough. Now, before we wrap, Sean, maybe just take us through some of the products you're involved in. You mentioned the inverter business is doing very well and that Intercom is doing your marketing for you on that score. I see your Elly's inverters everywhere these days, actually, at Builder's Warehouse. Wherever I go, I see Elly's inverters and people snapping them up. So they're obviously hugely popular. But what are some of your big business lines today versus in the past? I know in the past it was antennas and the cabling business, and I know you're quite big in the LED light bulb business. But what are some of the more promising areas of your business you're seeing today? Where's the growth coming from, and do you see opportunities to get into adjacent areas?
So I think for us, I mean, and I've mentioned connectivity with Vox, etc. But the largest opportunity for Elly's lies in solar. And we believe that's the future of our business. That is where we want to. We have innovative products, which we have already, we've designed ourselves. We're in the process of taking it to market. There's a lot, you know, in terms of solar at the moment, there are many offers and companies offering solar solutions out there.
Yeah.
I think none of them can carry a brand, you know, recognition and brand support and brand loyalty like Elly's can. I mean, as you mentioned, when we start, we're a 41-year-old brand. I mean, would you rather go to, some online marketing company that is working on behalf of an installer and go with, you know, what he's offering or with a brand like Elly's? We have brick and mortar around the country. So if there's a challenge, you can actually walk into one of our stores and speak to someone. And the matter will be dealt with. And I think that's the most critical area of growth for us. We think we're on the right, we believe we're on the right path. As I said, we will start in earnest with solar, taking it to market in the next 6 weeks. And given where consumers are at the moment, especially around the state-owned entities' power supply, we believe that's going to be, you know, I don't believe that's going to be resolved anytime soon. Apart from that, we have, you know, very exciting new products in terms of UPS, which is the size of two Bocomo boxes. It weighs less than 3 kgs. It has lithium-ion battery. It can be charged and can last up to 6 hours, can run any of your handheld devices, including your computer. And this is quite an exciting product for us. Apart from that, we are also venturing into trying to attract a new customer base to Elly's, in that we have gone into products with a company called, with a brand called Havit, where we're bringing out gaming accessories. Gaming accessories as well. So we are diversifying our product range, but at the same time, we are being very cautious as to the quantities we bring in. So we will test. If it works, we will grow it. Not like what we have done historically. I And that is how we got ourselves in, you know, kind of challenging positions with the amount of stock that we were holding.
Yeah.
So I believe it's an exciting future for Ellie's. I think our strategy has already started to pay dividends. And going into these new areas of solar connectivity, gaming, attracting this new customer base to the Ellie's brand, I think it augurs well for us. However, at the same time, there is still significant value in our partnership with MultiChoice, and we will continue to extract that value.
Yes.
A key differentiator for Ellie's compared to others in this sector are our installers, that 3,500 independent businesses that, you know, and we can bring to market various products through that channel. So we can train them on solar. We can train them on connectivity. And that's a key differentiator for us as a brand.
Yes. I want to explore in solar in a little bit more detail. You say you're coming to market in the next 6 weeks with a range of solutions. Are you targeting specifically the home market? Are we looking at the installation of solar panels on people's roofs and the associated installation of inverters and battery systems to store that power?
Correct. So we have already started with agriculture as the first sector we wanted to tackle. So we've been to the NAMPO show, etc. And the response from the farming community has been extremely positive. And you're correct that the next step for us is to look at small businesses and residential homes.
Okay.
I think the challenge in terms of, you know, the domestic market has been funding. Okay, because there is an initial outlay, which can be sizable, depends on what you want the system to do. Yes. So we're looking at alternatives to, you know, as a kind of rent to own models, etc., with external funding. So we're exploring that as well at the moment. And as I say, within the next 6 weeks, we'll be able to go out to market. We've got six offerings in solar for the domestic market, and we want to back it up with a funding model should the homeowner choose, you know, not to fund it personally or through his own bank, but requires funding for us to do the installation. You know, the thing about solar is I think future generations may look back and say, we have the technology. We have almost 365 days of sunshine, yet we fail to use it. Why? And, you know, I think that's a question that's going to be around for a long time. But I think our offering is, at the moment, I think it's something that most homes, it will be seen as a necessity purchase within the next 2 years. Yeah. That's my belief.
And, of course, it adds value to your home. You mentioned, Sean, you're coming to market with six products. Are you able to perhaps expand a little bit on what your offerings are going to look like? I know a lot of consumers are going to be listening to this podcast and hearing you coming to market with these products, and you're saying, well, how's it going to work? What can I do? How do I get it? Can you give a little more information on?
So I think what I can share before we actually launch is that the six ranges, it just depends on the size of the unit.
Okay.
So we have different. Depends what you want to run in the home. So, you know, it may be a fridge, a television. These are the number of solar panels you need. This is the, you know, the inverter you need, and these are the amounts of batteries.
Right.
And you will need to add to that. What is good with some of the new products that we have brought out is you can start off at a very entry level and add on as your finances allow you to do so.
So it's modular.
Absolutely, and that's critical. So we have a hybrid inverter at the moment, for instance. If you choose not to run it as solar at all, just as an inverter, you can install, plug it, it has a battery. When Eskom goes down, it will operate.
Mm.
Later, you can choose to add solar panels to it. How many is left to the individual owner, depending on his financial situation? And you can grow the system to slowly migrate your dependence away from Eskom and become totally self-reliant. And that's the aim of it.
Okay.
There is something that I would like to mention.
Of course.
Is the technology is ever evolving, especially at storage capacity. What we've got to be very mindful of is to watch carefully the forecast as to the uptake from consumers. We do not want to get ourselves into a position where we have, you know, significant amounts of stock and then the technology technology has moved, and then you get yourself into trouble again. So we need to manage that process extremely carefully. And I think at the moment where we stand with solar and the plans that we have, I think we'll be able to achieve that.
Great. Well, I look forward to learning more about what you're going to offer the market. I think there's a huge demand for solar solutions given the load shedding situation in South Africa. So mm-hmm. I think correctly managed, it'll be a big money spinner potentially for Ellie's down the road. Mm-hmm. One last quick question, Sean. Your share price is languishing. It's at 6 cents. I think it's been bouncing around the 4 to 6 cents mark over the last couple of months. So you're talking a good game here about the future of Ellie's. The market hasn't bought into it yet, but presumably if the numbers start to flow through in the next reporting periods, we're going to see a rally in that share price. Companies often take the opportunity when their share prices are very depressed to do buyouts, to delist. We've seen it many times on the JSE. Is that a consideration that Ellie's is looking at? Is delisting at some point an option to take advantage of the low share price?
So at the moment, the board has not dealt on that with that topic at all. Okay. We believe there is a business that we need to fix the fundamentals of our business, both operationally and strategically. And that process has started. I am sure that discussion, you know, will occur at a board level at the appropriate time. But right now the focus is on fix the base and let's decide from there.
All right. Good.
That's the focus area.
Oh, Tech Central will be keeping a close eye on developments and how you guys do, and particularly your solar launch. So all of the best of luck with that, Sean. Sean Priti Viraj, beg your pardon, let me try that again. Sean Priti Viraj is CEO of Ellie's Holdings. I'm sure, Sean, you've had your name butchered quite badly by many people in the past. Not just me, it's not the easiest day. But I must thank you for taking the time to talk to Tech Central today. It's much appreciated.
Thank you very much for your time, Duncan.